Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Beyond the Barricade with John Chris. This is the debut episode of Beyond the Barricade. John Chris at wearewrestling.net. We are going to be doing this every week, Wednesday night, half an hour after NXT airs live on the WWE Network. Again, welcome everybody. My name is John Crisp. If you want to join in tonight, the call-in number is 646-564-9518. We are going to be taking calls all night. We are going to be discussing a lot of things tonight with professional wrestling. The main topic we're going to be going over is the issue of finishing moves in professional wrestling, and just move sets in general. We're going to be trying to take up an entire hour here. Hopefully that will work out. The main issue I would like to talk about with moves in professional wrestling is the sort of degradation, I guess, of certain moves in wrestling. It's hard to it's hard to quite explain what I'm talking about. But it's one of the things that one of the easiest ways is the fact that at one point, you know, admittedly 30 or 40 years ago, one of the finishing moves in wrestling was the heart punch. Guy would grab his opponent's arm, put it behind his head, and then punch him in the heart. That was a finishing move in professional wrestling. And blanking who used it at the moment, as I Google that on Wikipedia to see if I can find who is doing it. The heart punch in today's wrestling, the heart punch would by no means be considered. Okay. Apparently, I'm talking for nothing. It should be posted to the site. Apologize if this is going poorly. I'm not used to Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Again, I apologize for the difficulties. I'm not used to this format. Rocky road. I do not know what to do. I have posted a link in wearewrestling.net. I do not know how to use Blog Talk Radio. I will freely admit that. So I'm not entirely sure. Apparently we have figured it out. Apologize for that issue. This is my first time using Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how to get this thing up and running. You're going to quickly find out I'm not the most professional of hosts, but I will be doing the best that I can. Going back to what I was talking about, as people are starting to trickle back in, not long ago wrestlers like Stan Stasiak and Ox Baker would use the heart punch as a finishing move. And doing that today as a finishing move would not work. And I think a lot of us can agree that would be logical. Because we've gotten to the point where we understand that you can't stop a man's heart by punching him in the chest unless he has some incredibly awful medical condition. So we've evolved past that. But that's just the biggest example of a move that should, in a sense, should not exist in modern wrestling. There are a couple of others that are not, that are used, that really should be. A good example is the Big Show knockout punch. Everyone always loves to shit on the Big Show knockout punch. Compared to the shooting star presses and the 450 splashes and the Petey Williams Canadian Destroyer. Those kind of moves make the knockout punch look really lame. But there is nothing about the knockout punch that isn't a strong finisher. It's completely believable to hear or to see someone, 7 feet tall, 400 pounds, punching someone in the face and knocking them out. Mike Tyson, Manny Pacquiao, famous boxers, won fights because of their punches. So it's hard. It's a bit of an interesting situation when the state of finishing moves in wrestling has taken something that by all means should be a legitimate, believable finishing move, and has said that this doesn't work. Or at least the fans of professional wrestling. And I think that's really to do with the overexposure of certain moves in professional wrestling. If anyone wants to call in, the number is 646-564-9518. Again, if you want to call in, weigh in at any time, more than welcome to. It'll be a much, much more fun experience the more we can get people involved. The question I have in wrestling is where does getting yourself over end, and where does disrespecting another worker begin? Because when you see a wrestler use a move on a show, and someone kicks out of it like it's no big deal, and then that very same move is the main event guy's finishing move, to end his main event level match. This is the move that beats his opponent. How does that work? How does someone kicking out of a Death Valley Driver in the opening match of a WWE house show believably allow John Cena to hit the attitude adjustment? Well, it doesn't. The attitude adjustment isn't going to end a match if someone kicks out of the attitude adjustment earlier in the show. That's basic wrestling logic. And so you see moves in the WWE, a lot of people will use a certain move that looks very similar to a main event level guy's finishing move, and nobody's gonna see it as such a big deal. That's why nobody really uses a bicycle kick when Sheamus is doing the brogue kick. Nobody uses a cutter when Randy Orton is using the RKO. And that's how it should be. That is phenomenal. The closest we have to anything like that in the WWE right now is the super kick. And we see that in indie wrestling too. Indie wrestling, I'm going to get to that in a second. But in the WWE right now, obviously, you know, Shawn Michaels is the most famous guy to use the super kick. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The sweet chin music, that's beaten The Undertaker, that's beaten Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's beating The Rock. The sweet chin music has beaten so many people because it's the finishing move of Shawn Michaels. It's hard to take sweet chin music seriously today when Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio, who has left the company since then, but he was using that for a while too, going into NXT, guys like Tyler Breeze uses a super kick, Adrian Neville uses a super kick. When those four guys are doing super kicks, how does it make sense if someone kicks out of them? If someone kicks out of a super kick, why is Shawn Michaels' sweet chin music any better? And it becomes the execution of the move. And I don't think the execution of a move is enough to say this is the end all be all. He does it so perfectly that it's a special super kick. I bought that as a kid. I'm not gonna argue that one. But nowadays it's harder to buy a super kick as a legitimate finisher in the WWE alone. And when you get into the indies, where Adam Cole uses a super kick, the Young Bucks super kick parties every match. The referee gets super kicked. All of the people in the match get super kicked. I'm pretty sure at some point the Young Bucks have super kicked themselves. There was a spot in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla that a lot of people are probably familiar with. Fatal four-way or a four-way dance, whatever you want to call it. It might have been a tag match, but all four men in the ring super kick each other at the same exact time. You know, suspension of disbelief aside, the like being able to tell, oh, this is where he's going to be, and then everyone moving right into a super kick. Ignore that for a second. That wasn't the last spot. Why would Adam Cole using a super kick later in that show? Why would Dolph Ziggler using a super kick later in that show after that spot? Why would anyone using a super kick suddenly get the pin? And I think the ultimate symbol of this is the burning hammer. Again, if you guys want to call in, I could really use someone else to talk to at this point. It's 646-564-9518. the burning hammer, if you are not familiar with Japanese wrestling, the signature move of one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time, Kenta Kobashi. Not to be confused with the artist now known as Kenta, or Hideo Itami in NXT. Kenta Kobashi is one of the greats in history. I would actually like to take a quick moment to wish him and his wife the best. They have announced that they are expecting their first child. I wish them the best in all of that. You know when some random guy in Illinois wishes the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time best of luck with his wife expecting a child, that it's a big deal. He has a move called the Burning Hammer, which is he gets the opponent up in an Argentine backbreaker clutch, which is an inverted fireman's carry. You know, he gets them up for the attitude adjustment, but they're facing upwards. And he pushes them up into a brain buster. It ends up being an inverted Death Valley driver, and he calls it the Burning Hammer. Kenta Kobashi is about as old as Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's been wrestling from, if you'll give me a second to just verify all this information, he's 48 years old. He started wrestling in 1988. He retired in 2013. He first used the Burning Hammer in, I believe it was 1991. From 1991 until 2013, he used the Burning Hammer 7 times in his career. 7 times. He wrestled a hell of a lot of matches. He ended up winning a lot of titles in Pro Wrestling Noah, All Japan Pro Wrestling. He's one of the greats in Japanese wrestling. And he used this move 7 times. 7 matches where he pulls out this super insane, crazy move. And nobody has ever kicked out of the Burning Hammer when it is done by Kenta Kobashi. In Japanese wrestling, kicking out of the Burning Hammer is akin to surviving a nuclear blast. And I apologize if that is offensive to some of the Japanese viewers of this show that we probably don't have. It's an incredible feat. It's if you can kick out of a Kenta Kobashi Burning Hammer, you are God himself. I'm not a religious man, but I'll go out and say that. If you can kick out of a Kenta Kobashi Burning Hammer, you are God. In Japan, using a Burning Hammer is the ultimate disrespect. It's sacrilege almost to use a Burning Hammer because of the storied tradition of the Burning Hammer, who is used 7 times, and it's the end of the match right there. There's an indie wrestling show, I believe it's Premier Pro Wrestling, a few weekends, about 20 minutes from my house. I don't know who's on it. I have no idea who's on it. I have no idea how long it's going to last. It's probably going to be about 3 hours because that's a wrestling show. I guarantee you, if I go there, I'm going to see a Burning Hammer. I'm probably going to see 2 Burning Hammers. Burning Hammers in American indie wrestling are no big deal. Absolutely no big deal. It's you don't bat an eyelash at them. It's used about as often as the super kick. People just get up, get them up for a burning hammer and hit it. Tyler Rex, if anyone remembers Tyler Rex, he used it as a burning hammer for a while in WWE. That was his finishing move before John Cena complained that it looked too much like the Attitude Adjustment and got him to stop using it. That was his finisher. And this move in Japanese wrestling that is never seen because of how, you know, in terms of storyline, how devastating this move is. He only pulls it out once every 3 years, basically. And people are using it as their regular finisher, or even worse, just using it as a transitionary move to get a near fall in some indie show in a bar. And that's, I think, the problem with professional wrestling at this point. One of them, anyway. There's absolutely nothing that should make, you know, the Big Show knockout punch being the perfect example. The Big Show knockout punch, yeah, there's some questions about it, but there's nothing about it that should be considered like this isn't a good finishing move. If the Big Show actually punch someone, I could totally believe that they're knocked out. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't believe that the Big Show knocks someone out with one punch when people are taking brain busters and getting up. People are taking, people are taking pile drivers and getting up. We've gotten to the point where the only way to have a believable finishing move, take something that is, take something that's sacred and do it 9 times. Yes. The Big Show is supposed to knock people out because he's a giant. Like the Big Show's finishing move, because it's just a punch. It's just a punch. Obviously, I'm talking about the smark, the internet wrestling community aspect of it. But there's nothing about the knockout punch that is a problem, especially when we have Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett, whatever the hell his name is, using an elbow strike as a finisher. The problems with the moves, the problems with the bull hammer and the knockout punch are not that it's not believable, because it's very believable. But it's not, people, from what I can tell, people don't like the knockout punch because, oh, you can just hit a punch anywhere else in the match. Well, you can hit an RKO anywhere else in a match. That's what the entire RKO out of nowhere thing came from. He would hit it in response to anything. You can hit a knockout punch anywhere. You can hit an RKO anywhere. You can hit a Rough Rider anywhere. You can hit anything anywhere. But people don't like the knockout punch. And I don't like the knockout punch. I'm going to be the first one to say that. I don't like it at all. But I don't like it for reasons that are different than the rest of it. I'm playing devil's advocate here. But Look at finishing moves in wrestling. What are the most famous finishing moves in professional wrestling? We've got the Stone Cold Stunner, the the rock bottom, or the people's elbow, whichever one you want to call it, the atomic leg drop, and the, I would put the pedigree and the tombstone pile driver up there too. The tombstone pile driver is handled about as well as you're going to get in American wrestling, because nobody, I can count on my fingers probably the amount of people that have kicked out of an Undertaker tombstone. And that's how it should be. The problem becomes everyone else using a tombstone pile driver. I don't have a script here that I'm reading off of. I'm not entirely sure where I'm going. I'm just sort of shooting on my opinions. It's John Cena at WrestleMania pulled out a springboard stunner. He hit the ropes, bounced off, and gave Rusev a stunner. And that was insane. That was the moment, for me at least, where it was like, this is a big match. You know, John Cena's coming out here, and he's doing a new move that he's never done before. It was John Cena doing the Hurricane Rana. John Cena doing a drop kick. You know, John Cena, as much as people want to hate on him, and I do want to hate on him, I will get to that later, though. John Cena has an amazing ability to turn it up for a big match. He always finds some way to make a big match seem bigger. And I have a ton of respect for John Cena for doing that. But the problem with doing a springboard stunner, he kind of botched the Hurricane Rana, but whatever. He did it. That was the point. John Cena doing a springboard stunner at WrestleMania says this match is a big deal. John Cena doing that same move the very next night on Monday Night Raw, that's sort of the problem. Because, like, admittedly, there is a problem with getting stale, doing the same old moves. That's why people hate John Cena. He's done the same thing for pretty much a decade at this point. But John Cena pulls out a big move at WrestleMania, and it's a huge deal because this is something he's never done before, and it's making the match seem bigger than it is. And then he does it the next night on Raw. Part of, you know, I'm gonna go out and say this. There's a huge, everyone knows about the big, you know, blood feud between Vince Russo and Jim Cornette. I'm sure of them. I will go on record saying that I do not really like either of them. I find Jim Cornette more tolerable because he actually understands professional wrestling. And one of the things he said at some point in the past, I have no idea when, is that I'm posting the link again in the thread if you guys want to listen in. I guess if you're listening to this, you already know that it's in the thread. But Jim Cornette made a statement a while back. That the problem with indie wrestling is that the guys who go out in the first match do everything they can. They brawl to the outside. They have 20 near falls. And it's the first match on the show because they're trying to get over, which is it makes sense. It's hard to make money in the independent wrestling scene. I know a lot of indie wrestlers, and it's hard to make money, and to make money you have to get over, you have to have a good match. But the way you book a wrestling show, and I think this is why a lot of indie guys aren't getting noticed by the WWE, is because they are expected to get over by themselves. They don't get over through because it's hard to book when you don't have a television show, but they don't get over through booking. They get over through their own matches, and that means having an incredible blow everyone away match, which makes sense. And if you're a wrestler, you want to get over, you want to get noticed, so you have the best match. But when I go to a show, when I go to a wrestling show, doesn't live up to expectations, that's a problem, because that says that the booker didn't do the right show for the main event. And the best way to make the booker's life more difficult, if you're a wrestler, is to have 9 people go out and, you know, the first 3 matches of the show, you know, someone gets cut open each match. The near falls between every match. People brawl on the outside. That's the easiest way to make a main event disappointing, is to have the first opening matches be over exert their presence. If a wrestler goes out and he has 20 near falls in a match, it's automatically going to make near falls mean. You know, if a wrestler uses the main event guy's finishing move and someone kicks out, it looks bad. It just looks bad automatically. That's how things work. So a lot of these guys, basically, the best finishing moves in professional wrestling end up being submissions, like Minister of Sinister has said, you know, Scorpion Deathlocks and Boston Crabs. That's a great start. That's a great way to do it. The problem is, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr., Alberto El Patron, and 9 other people use a crossed armbar. Roderick Strong is using a Boston Crab, a modified Boston Crab. So you automatically have 4 guys right there doing the same move, and then you have 1 guy that's just doing his own thing. Colt Cabana uses the Colt 45, which is a Chicago Crab. It's an inverted Boston Crab. You know, Kevin Steen used the sharpshooter. Some other guys use the sharpshooter. It's to have a good submission finisher, you have to wrestle a style that suits it. Corey Graves, before he retired, did a really good job of setting up for the Lucky 13. Alberto Del Rio, someone who's been on the main roster. He would do the double knee arm breakers. He would do whatever he could to fuck up the guy's arm before putting him in a cross arm breaker. If you're not targeting the limb, then it doesn't really work for a submission finisher. The problem with that ends up being that the guy becomes predictable. He has to find a bunch of new ways to lock in the submission, or he has to find a bunch of new ways to fuck up the guy's arm. I actually don't think I made the show rated R. Whoops. Submission finishers work, but I think you have to do it properly. Roderick Strong is a great example. He does all the backbreakers, and they set up for the Boston Crab. You have to either have a... You have to have a submission move that is set up really well by what style you wrestle. Scandal, you are an idiot, and I will not deny that. A sleeper hold in professional wrestling is something we need to do. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. When I do NXT commentary, I do as much as I can to. I do as much as I can to. I do as much as I can to overhype a sleeper hold, kind of as an inside joke. I marked out today because Hideo Itami locked in a sleeper hold, and that was like, it's a classic wrestling move that nobody really uses. If you want to set up a sleeper hold, by the way, you target the ribs, you make it so it's harder for them to breathe. And Scandal, going back to your other comment, I really only think that, I don't even think that it should be once. I don't think you should kick out of a wrestler's finishing move unless it's, you know, like TBM said, SummerSlam or WrestleMania. You should not be kicking out of a wrestler's finishing move unless it's, you know, some crazy, crazy big match. That's a problem. It's kicking out of a wrestler's finisher is exactly the problem with professional wrestling. It's why, you know, a super kick isn't a big deal. It's why a burning hammer isn't a big deal. It's why people try so hard to get themselves over in wrestling matches when they should be doing their job. And it sounds bad. I'm going to be the first one to say that. But Kofi Kingston's job as an opening match tag team guy right now with the New Day isn't to put on the biggest match. It's to tell a story. Professional wrestling has always been about the story since the day it became scripted. It's been about the story, and it's been about making the story a bigger deal. If you sell the story, then you're doing your job. And you're not doing your job by making a wrestler's finishing move look weak. If someone hits you with your finisher, you do not kick out unless it's the very, very last match of one of the biggest shows of the year. You don't, because if you do that, it makes it harder to... It makes it harder to tell the story of the guy overcoming adversity. The best finishing moves, getting back to that point, in professional wrestling are either something that nobody else is doing, you know, the red arrows, which nobody else is capable of doing. I can probably count on one hand the number of people that could do a red arrow. Or it's a move that no one else is doing. You know, the one that I always think of is Roderick Strong's End of Heartache or Strong Breaker, where he gets him up for a suplex, flips him over, and drops him on his knees. That's a great finishing move until it gets stolen and everyone else is using it 19 times. Thankfully for Roderick Strong, who I think is one of the better wrestlers in the world, nobody's really doing that. But if people start using that as a transitionary move, it's got to stop. He has to find a new finisher. And doing that to a guy is really, really disrespectful in my mind. I think, because like that's damaging his job. It's making him less impressive. It's when there's 3,000 wrestlers in the world, and that's probably a gross underestimation. It's hard for each one of them to have a finishing move that is believable and that no one else is using. But having something that sets you apart is what's important, more so than doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. Nobody can do what Adrian Neville can do. That's why he's a big deal. Nobody wrestles like Roderick Strong wrestles. Nobody wrestles like Chris Hero wrestles. Nobody is as big as the Big Show. Nobody is... I don't think there's anyone in wrestling today that's as good of a talker as John Cena. I don't like the guy, but I'm gonna say that. I don't think anyone active in wrestling sells a storyline as good as John Cena. If you don't have something unique about you get over by doing the same stuff because you don't have something unique. And you get over by doing the same stuff by doing stuff that's incredibly impressive. But you do all of it rapid fire. If wrestling was the old days where every match was like 30 minutes, you know, main events would go an hour, and it would be all rest holds, then it'd be one thing. But if you go to an indie show, and they have 20 minutes to have a match, if they're lucky. And in that 20 minutes, they hit 19 finishers, kick out of all of them. I do not think you should kick out of a finisher unless it's a big, big deal. I think it's definitely possible for someone to have 5 new moves every match. You know, you listen to, I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm not trying to, but you listen to my commentary, or you listen to Matt Stryker's commentary, or Mike Tenay's commentary, people who call the moves, not Michael Cole, JBL, and Booker T, like people who actually call the wrestling moves. There's hundreds of them. There's thousands of them. Sure, everyone would be doing German suplexes, but there's definitely enough moves for everyone to have a good move set. If they put the time into their craft. You know, it's going to be harder for guys like the Big Show. Maybe even Roman Reigns or Wade Barrett, people who are bigger human beings, are going to have a harder time doing some of the high-flying moves. So that's a good amount of them that are off the table. But the problem really lies in indie wrestling. In going to a show and seeing everyone using a shooting star press in a match. I went to AAW, All American Wrestling. It's a Chicago area promotion. I went to a show about a year ago with Samurai Del Sol, now known as Kalisto, ACH, Michael Elgin, and a bunch of other people. At this 3-hour show, I saw 4 shooting star presses. I'm not even going to doubt that. I can probably name all of them. ACH did a shooting star press in a match against Samurai Del Sol. Samurai Del Sol did one back. Matt Fitchett, who is not a big name by any stretch of the imagination. Matt Fitchett was wrestling Michael Elgin, and he hit a shooting star press. And then went up for another one. He went up for another one in the same match where he already hit one. He botched it, actually. He came down on the... He came down, hit his knees on the turnbuckles, and it was... A Chicago area crowd went silent. That's saying something. And gave him a... We gave him a standing ovation afterwards. He was wrestling for the AAW championship against Michael Elgin. But we saw 4 shooting star presses, 2 of them in one match. So when you go and you see Matt Seidel or Evan Bourne do a shooting star press, you go and you see Adrian Neville do a shooting star press, or Ricochet do a shooting star press, how big of a deal is it? How big of a deal is it to see a shooting star press when you saw 2 in a match the other night? It's just not. It's just flat out not. So people are forced to go in and do corkscrew shooting star presses, shooting star sentons, you know, shooting star pile drivers. I'm sure somebody's done that, and Adrian Neville's probably done it. You end up having to do moves that are, you want to talk about health-wise, throwing more rotations on a move that broke Brock Lesnar's neck. That's a great move for people's health. You know what I mean? Brock Lesnar did a shooting star press in OVW. He did it in dark matches on the main roster. Brock Lesnar did a shooting star press so many times before, I want to say WrestleMania 21, where he faced Kurt Angle. It might not be 21, but he did a lot of shooting star presses, and he had done it successfully. We all know that botch. We all remember that one. Brock Lesnar hits his head, like, face first into the mat and snaps his neck. I don't remember if he snapped his neck, but he damn near broke it against Kurt Angle. And when you go and you see 2 people, you know, 2 or 3 people do a shooting star press, and nobody bats an eye, then you have to do something bigger. So you do a corkscrew shooting star press, or you did a shooting star senton. Andrew Everett did a double rotation moonsault in the Don't Sweat the Technique show for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He did it perfectly. But when you see someone do a moonsault, after seeing that move, you're always going to be, oh, well, Andrew Everett did a double rotation moonsault. That's not a big deal. Who fucking cares if he did a single moonsault? Who cares if he did, you know, a moonsault senton or a moonsault stomp? Andrew Everett did a double rotation one. That's more impressive. It's that becomes the problem. Once you see a guy do a shooting star press twice in a match, the Shooting Star Press is no longer a valid finishing move. And again, I'm exaggerating a little bit. You know, not everyone saw Matt Fitchett versus Michael Elgin at AAW Path of Redemption 2013. But it's the principle of it. It's damaging to professional wrestling, and I think that's ultimately the issue, because we have guys that are incredibly talented. I will never say that I prefer the old school style of wrestling over the wrestling of today, because the wrestling today is more athletic, it's more entertaining, it's faster paced, it's more exciting. But there are things that are lost in today's wrestling that I really think are the key to real wrestling. I do not like John Cena. I am not a John Cena fan. But John Cena knows how to put together a match. John Cena knows how to put together a main event level match and tell a story, and that's why John Cena is a 15-time world champion. He sells a hell of a lot of merchandise. He, you know, makes everyone in the crowd react to him. But whether it's on the microphone or in the ring, he tells a story, and that's what wrestling is. Into WWE, and you hear a lot of stuff. You hear a lot of these stories. People go into the WWE and they don't have the ability to wrestle a 3-minute match. 3 minutes is not a lot of time. I'm not even going to pretend it's a lot of time. That's shit. If you can do a 3-minute match, you are something else. But it's the adjustment in style. That's why they send guys like Finn Balor into NXT. So they can get used to this, all right, you have 4 minutes, go get yourself over, rather than the usual, okay, here's 20 minutes, do whatever you want, and if you get over, we'll use you. It's completely, completely different. Yes and no, Scandal. Oh yeah, no, it's definitely nothing. But four people using the same finishers is going to be bad, because someone kicks out of one of them, all of them look worse. Brock Lesnar could do a Shooting Star Press. The dude's like 260 pounds, I think. He's huge. He's massive. Brock Lesnar doing a Shooting Star Press is incredible. But if you kick out of Evan Bourne's Shooting Star Press, it makes Brock Lesnar's look worse, because it's the same move. The only difference is how much weight's coming down on you. But you don't believe it. It doesn't look the same. It's not enough. We're running out of time here. I would love to continue ranting about this. I might pick this up next week if you guys are still interested. It's hard to really say, because again, indie wrestling is not. Indie wrestling is not as big of a deal as a lot of us would like to believe. Ring of Honor is not a national company by any stretch of the imagination. New Japan isn't even national in the United States. We get pay-per-views, but I don't get New Japan television, and I have pretty good cable, pretty good television. So people people saying, again, what I've said has to be taken with a grain of salt. Me saying, oh, Matt Fitchett doing a shooting star press twice is bad for wrestling. It isn't. It's not going to affect the WWE because most people will never see that match. But it's the mentality of it. The mentality of hit two shooting star presses in... Hit two shooting star presses in a match. That'll get you over because people will see how awesome you are. You can do a shooting star press and you can do it twice. It hurts wrestling because people lose respect for the moves. And once you've lost the moves of wrestling, what is wrestling but a soap opera? I don't want to watch John Cena and The Miz argue over someone stealing the other's girlfriend. I don't want to see Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe argue over who deserved to win an award. I want to see them fight. That's all the time we have for tonight, folks. We're going to continue next week. We might continue the same subject. We might pick up a new one. If any of you guys ever want to suggest anything, feel free to call in. Just suggest something. Just mention it to me personally. That's all the time we have.